So, ladies and gentlemen, here we are in Kopala, and we're going to be chatting with a fellow by the name of Daniel, who started Daniel's Restaurant. And to give you a little history about that, we'll be asking Daniel some questions about that, and he can tell us about his life here in Kopala and how he came to be here. So, here's Daniel. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Came to Kopala the first time in 1938. My mother was raised in Kopala. My grandmother was born in Kopala. My great-grandfather was born in Kopala. And I was born in California. My dad was born in Gravette, Arkansas. But my mother and my dad met in California, Long Beach, California. Dad was a section foreman on the railroad. So my sister and I were born in railroad camps. And my mom lived 40 years in California. Then my dad died in 1957. My mother kind of moved back to Kopala because she inherited some cattle and a house and a ranch. And so my dad died. She just moved here. She had a house and everything. Last thing my dad said before he died was, "You take care of your mother," he told me. And I always kind of stuck in my head that that was the last thing he was thinking about. So then I went through a divorce in California, and then I worked 20 years in the oil rigs, and I shattered my thumb in a well explosion, and I thought, well, this is far enough. My mom was 67 years old, and at that time I thought she was really old. It doesn't seem that old to me now, but I'm 70 now, so mm-hmm. 67 doesn't seem so old now. So I decided I just sold everything, had a house, and had a Corvette, and all my furniture and everything. I just kind of burned all my bridges and moved here to Kopala in 1969. I was 34 years old, which I thought I was pretty old. I did. I thought 34 was pretty old then, you know.
Right.
My mother bought a piece of property here in Kopala. And she always used to tell me when she went on vacation, she'd say, "Why don't you come to Kopala? We'll put in a trailer park." And I used to laugh, and I thought it was kind of funny. So after I broke my thumb and I was convalescing there, I made a trip out to see my mom here. And I came out to this piece of property my mother bought, and I sat down on this big old log, and I looked around, and I thought, well, it wouldn't be a trailer park, but I could put in a camp area, you know, for campers, not for trailers. So I decided I'd move here and stay with my mom, and went and sold everything, and moved back. Got here January the 4th, 1969. And I think Kopala hasn't been the same since. There's about 100 people here. I got my uncle's house, which is a little adobe house, and I kind of remodeled it, and I put in restrooms and showers, and I worked on it about a year and a half, cleaning the area and killing about 10,000 scorpions and spiders called vinagrillos that are, you don't even want to see one. Then I opened what I call Kopala Camp Area, even though nobody knew it was here but me. So I, when I figured out nobody knew I was here, I decided to go to Mazatlan, and I'd sell tickets for people who had campers to come out and spend the weekend. And I'd take them to another town called Ponico. I'd take them to see the old church here. But they had to have a camper. And I'd get 10 couples, because I only set 20 people. And my mom would fix food for them, and they'd come on Saturday. And you'd be here by noon. I had the ticket I gave them had a map on the back that I'd made. And this is in 1971. We'd take the people. I'd take them on up to the town, Kopala, and then we'd come back and have dinner. Then we'd have a little Mexican fiesta where everybody would get really drunk, especially me. Next morning, we'd have a bus come in. It'd be Sunday morning, and we'd take the people to a place called Guadalupe, where an old, 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 old church is. And then we'd go to Ponico, which is another mining town 10 miles from here. At Sunday noon, the tour is over. People could stay or they could go, and some people would stay and some people would go back, but everybody enjoyed it. It was really something different back then. There were no tours or anything. Then my mother, when we had the camp area, my mom fixed tacos and enchiladas for people who came in campers. And so then restaurant got started because of my mother, who was the greatest cook in the world. I should have named the restaurant Mama's, or I should have named it Angela's, but like a jerk, I named it Daniel's. Because I figured I'd build it, so I put my name on it. I've been sorry ever since. Everything was great until 1984, my mother passed away. Hurt me worse than anything that ever did, but had to happen, I guess. So she died here, so I buried her here. So when I die, I'll be buried here with her. My dad's buried in California. I kind of wish my mother would have passed away in California so she'd been buried with my dad, but it was a deal that I always figured if she died here, I'd bury her here. If she died in California, I'd bury her in California. And so here she is, and here I am. And then the restaurant just kept growing and growing, and they started bringing bus tours out here, and it just kind of grew into then we started making a pie. A lady from Springfield, Oregon gave me a recipe for a banana cream pie, and I added coconut to it, turned into a banana cream coconut pie, and it went over bigger than a hula hoop. And it went over really big, and it still goes over big. And I'm still here.
You still own the restaurant now, Daniel?
No, I leased the restaurant 5 years ago. I retired. And I just kind of sit here and watch the world go by. That's about it.
Is this your motel here?
Then I build a hotel, an 11-room hotel, and I have 5 bungalows. My sister-in-law takes care of, and she runs all of that. And we're just here waiting for the end. Thank you.
Well, we thank you. We hope the end will be a long ways yet. One thing I wanted to mention that always impressed me as well, you were featured in a couple of issues of National Geographic, if I recall. Do you remember how many years ago that would have been?
1973 in a monthly, and then 1980 yearly special called America's Magnificent Mountains. Did a beautiful article on Copala. And in 1973, another guy did a nice, beautiful article on Copala, way back in those days, which is kind of interesting. And I think Copala's been written up in every newspaper and magazine in Canada and the United States. Almost, except for Playboy.
Well, 1969 was the year that you arrived here, as you mentioned, and you're accredited in many publications with basically putting Copala on the map by employing the local people, starting a restaurant here. You've been, that's quite a few years ago, and you mentioned there was about 100 people in the village at that point. What would the population base be here now?
I think there's 1,200 or 1,300 people in Copala now. ¿Cuánta gente hay en Copala?
Before you arrived on the scene, though, Daniel, there were no tour buses coming here, no cruise ship tours, nothing like that. Now this has become, tourism must be high up in the rank of Copala's economic base.
When I first came in 1969, I ran into some people down in the Plazuela, and they had the Hotel Playa box lunches, and they were eating lunch, and I got to talking to them, and I told them I'd just spent about 2 months landscaping my mother's backyard, and if they'd like to use it, I had a picnic table, and if they'd like to use it, they're welcome to it. So we went up there to the house, and it was very pretty, my grandmother's old banana trees and everything, and so we became really good friends. Come to find out later that they were the owners of the Playa Maslon. So like I say, we became really good friends, and I talked them into bringing a tour to see the church of Copala, because I thought that the church was probably going to fall down, and it was a shame because it was such a beautiful church and nobody's going to get to see it. So they thought it was too far, being just about an hour and 10-minute drive from the hotel. But I told them that way people would feel like they've been somewhere. So Bob Biant, he said that they'd try it. They'd try a test group of associates that were coming in with their kids and everything. And we fixed up one of the old houses there and put an extra restroom in it for men and women. Gave me something to do. So they sent out open truck, tropical bus, they called them. Held 20 people. And they bring a pinata for the town's kids, which never even knew what a pinata was, most of them. And I'd get the kids with all their donkeys, and we'd give the people donkey rides. It was really a fun thing, and the people really enjoyed it because the town was so old. In fact, in National Geographic, it said back then that, that Gopala was like a ghost town, almost but not quite a ghost town. And that's just about the way it was. Every house was just ready to disintegrate. In 1980, Gopala had a master luck. Lopez Portillo became president. They discovered his ancestors were all from this town, and he wanted to see the town, so he came to see it, which was probably the biggest day Gopala's ever had in its history. Thousands of people here with the new president, and then he seen that the town was in really bad shape, and he's a miracle for this town because he ordered it to be all fixed up, which they did. Every brick mason in Mexico was here putting in sidewalks and brick walls, and it was unbelievable to what, you know, a president could just say, do that, and it's done. Then he said he'd be back in 1 year to see the town. So he came back a year later. The town was all spick and span and just like a shiny new penny. And he went up to the town and he said, electricity for Gopala. Yay! So next, you know, 1980, Gopala had electricity. Brought it out of the dark ages, and that was another great thing done by Lopez Portillo. Because I think it was already planned, but he just kind of pushed it ahead a few years. And that's how we got electricity. And that's how Gopala actually became more known on the map. Yeah, Lopez Portillo helped it a lot back in those days. And he fixed the road so big buses could come in. They fixed the road so his big buses could come in to see the town. And when he did that, they opened up the town for tourism, which they didn't even know they were doing.
I see. There's not much silver in mining here in the area anymore?
No, there's none right now. All the big companies have quit. But I think it'll probably get started pretty soon. I see the gold and silver going up again, so that's when everybody comes in and starts working
again.
There's
still some of that ore left here, then.
Yeah, that's where this guy would be right now. He's out. He has an area out there somewhere where they pan gold.
I see.
And it's still there.
I see. Great. Well, thank you very much for taking your time today to talk with us. And
thank you for having me. Sorry about my throat.
No, this is...
That's a squeaky voice. But.
Well, another thing that Daniel's famous for, the restaurant, of course, is his mother's recipe, the banana cream coconut pie, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the best margaritas, too. So that's what we're going to go and try and sample right now. Thank you very, very much, Daniel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.